Hey, everybody, it is The Context Machine. Welcome to it. This is episode 612. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, go check us out on our fancy, fancy home, contextmachine.io.
Yes, indeed. You can even use, my God, people are so lucky. They can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us. Or you can find us on post.news and Mastodon at Context Machine.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on that other service too, but we won't see it and we're not there. We're there, but we're not there.
Yeah. All you'll see is the ghost remnant of when we were there.
Yes.
In the before time.
Yes. Probably going to be labeled state sponsored content soon, I'm guessing.
It probably already has been. Also, Pay Palpatine promised to take away my blue check mark. Mm-hmm. And still hasn't, and I'm really annoyed about that.
Mm. Yes, right. People might actually think you paid.
Right, and I don't want that.
No.
No.
Right. Speaking of dumbassery, Jeff. Spoiler. Spoiler, that's the kind of show this is going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I have two paths I can choose here.
Okay.
One is where I say, oh God, what did you do now?
Yeah.
And
fair.
The other one is, Brian, tell me about this dumbassery that you have discovered.
Well,
and I'm really torn which way to go.
Technically, you discovered it and brought it to me in order to get me all riled up. So,
yeah.
So this is kind of all your fault. Nonetheless, GM, General Motors, that would be the car maker behind the brands Chevrolet and what, Pontiac? What do they have? They also just have GM. Got a couple. They got mm-hmm. a couple of companies there under the GM umbrella. The Chevrolet matters to me because that's what I currently drive. But anyway, they're going to artificially turn off CarPlay and, for whatever it's worth, Android Auto in their electric vehicles, starting with the 2024 Blazer electric vehicle.
Yeah, they are.
And guess why they're going to do it? Guess why they're going to do it?
Because they feel it's best for customers.
No.
Because it's always about the customer.
No. First. Good guess. An excellent guess. With the exception that it's completely wrong. I am going to quote GM Chief Executive Mary Barra. Quote, we do believe there are subscription revenue opportunities for us. Unquote. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. That was Kummer. Who is K-U-M-M-E-R? Who is that person? That was not GM Chief Executive Mary Barra. Who is this person?
So our longtime listeners, I'm sure they all totally picked up on the way that I feigned ignorance.
Yes.
Just to set you off again.
Yes. 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 I'm sure. Edward Kummer, who is the Chief Digital Officer. In other words, they are kind of like the cable networks and studios annoyed that Apple and I guess Google too are good enough at what they do that people prefer using CarPlay and Android Auto or whatever, rather than subscribe to things like OnStar. And you know, OnStar mapping and they're on device services that CarPlay and Android Auto do better.
Yeah, it's very disappointing. Okay, so salt in the wound on this. The underlying software that GM uses to create their in-dash experience is Android based. And that software has all the hooks in it to support Apple's CarPlay and Google's version. And so, yeah, so they're just turning that off.
Well, hold on.
So this create their own experience.
This is only in their electric vehicles, upcoming electric vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are doing something.
Start.
But they're doing that is probably just a start. That is true. But they are doing a new software system developed with Google that will have some Google services built into it. For at least for 8 years, you'll be able to access them for free. So I guess after 8 years, you'd have to pay someone something, assuming you actually keep your car that long. And it is possible that the new software that's being developed by Google for these electric vehicles will not have those same hooks, because the hooks you're talking about are in the software they use on their combustion engines. Right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it's it's currently in ICE vehicles, but I'm pretty sure there are some car manufacturers doing EV that they're using this same core software.
That may well be, but I believe that this is an entirely new system that they're developing with Google for their EVs. So it may or may not have those same hooks.
Okay. I was interpreting it as Google was helping them develop the top layer that sits on top of the core that's driving.
Could be.
If you will.
All right.
The rest of the software.
Here's the deal. My current car is 2020 Blazer RS, and I love it. My previous car was an Equinox Chevy. Both of these are made by Chevy. I really love my Equinox. And in fact, one of the reasons why I wanted a Blazer was not only because I was so pleased with my Equinox while I drove it, but because their CarPlay integration is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I would probably have been looking at a Blazer electric vehicle come the time in the next few years if I wanted to replace my Blazer, my current Blazer. I probably, like with you know, available data today, that's where I would theoretically be looking with everything I know today. Right? I will not be buying a Chevrolet if I can't use CarPlay. And I am thinking that there are plenty of Apple fans who care more about CarPlay than they do about Chevrolet.
I think you are right. That said, I also think that at the consumer level, the negative hit to their sales is going to be minimal, because I think that the majority of car buyers are still buying the car based on the car they want. And in many cases, they probably don't even realize it has Google Play or CarPlay or that's not even the right name for the Google service. But anyhow.
Android Auto.
Android Auto, thank you. Where I think it will matter, since it's in the EV space, it will be with people who are more tech savvy, which are probably more inclined to buy an EV.
In the first place.
And with fleet purchases. Because when you go get a rental car, it's pretty common for people to pick the cars that have CarPlay support. And
yeah, well,
the ones that have CarPlay support, they also have Android Auto support. So if you don't have that natively in the car, then I think there's a higher likelihood you will have car renters that ask for a different model.
Yeah.
Which then ultimately translates to the fleet car purchasers looking to manufacturers that will sell them cars with CarPlay.
You would think so. And they have to know this. Don't get me wrong. I'm guessing that these folks know their industry and their company better than I do. I know. That's probably a weird thing for anyone to expect me to say.
But I'm glad I was sitting down.
But Chaffin's razor is like ringing its bell off right now because I don't understand this. I mean, like, I get why this is better for Chevrolet. I do not get why they think that I give a crap about what's better for Chevrolet. I want my data. I want my iMessages on, you know, the displaying through CarPlay, right? I want to be able to use my iPhone contacts if I'm going to make a phone call or receive a phone call so I know who's calling. I don't want to give that information to GM. That I can't give them my iMessages because, you know, that's not how that works. That's what CarPlay is for. But, you know, I'm sure that they would be happy as can be to let me upload my or sync my contacts or some crap like that, which I'm not going to do.
Oh, of course. And you know what? Good for you for saying you're not going to do that. For me, uploading your contacts like that, it's distasteful on a couple levels. First, I want to retain control of that data. And I do not trust, especially a car maker, with that data. But then the other part of it for me, it's a privacy thing. I don't have consent from everyone in my contacts to share their information with GM. Therefore, I'm not sharing any of that information with anyone.
Yeah, most people aren't going to care about that. But I mean, I obviously, you know, kudos. I'm so with you, brother. That's, you know, yay, choir, let's go. And I'm with you.
Go choir.
Yeah, go choir. And I don't know, man. If you ask me, GM has lost its mind here. Their support for CarPlay has always been top notch. And, you know, like Ford has since reiterated, or is it iterated or reiterated? Probably reiterated.
They have iterated their continued commitment to CarPlay.
I think would be a reiteration, also mostly pedantic.
Well, if I take out the word continued, then it would be reiterated.
Yes, I like this discussion. This is excellent use of our airtime.
Yes.
By which I mean I apologize. Ford has said that they will continue to support CarPlay. Although I would add that Ford has been using some Microsoft layer for a long time anyway. And I rented when I went to Texas to meet my family to go to England in October. First car I had was a Ford Explorer that I hated. And one of the things that was annoying me with it is I don't think I had proper CarPlay support. Could be wrong. Maybe I just didn't do it right. The second car. And so when I got back to your original point, when we got back and I was renting another car for the rest of my driving around in Texas, I made sure to get a Chevrolet so I could get some CarPlay support.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for validating that hypothesis.
So Ford is saying that they're going to continue to support it. I don't really think they've been doing a great job of supporting it all along. I could be wrong. Maybe if you have a Ford and you have experience with CarPlay one way or the other, please let us know. Again, contextmachine.io. You can reach out to us on the post or Mastodon and let us know what you think.
Please. Yes.
Yeah, please let us benefit from your experience so that we can actually be talking a little bit less out of our butts.
That would certainly be more sanitary. And Brian, Chaffin's razor for me on this one, I can extrapolate out to what I think is happening and the customer experience is not being considered at all. I think this is all about running numbers on spreadsheets and feeling like they can, meaning GM, can take that experience over and make more money and screw everyone else.
Right. OnStar subscriptions, their mapping, so because they do have a solid GPS mapping system that is built into their displays, that's built into the, you know, the car stuff, but you have to subscribe to it. And of course, people with iPhones are going to be using either Google Maps or Apple Maps, and people with Android devices are going to be a lot more comfortable with Google Maps. And why would you pay for this, you know, other service if you can use the one that comes with your phone? Because again, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. It's what consumers want to do. I mentioned this a little bit earlier, where Apple, Steve Jobs and Apple saved the music industry with iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And the music industry has not forgiven Apple to this date for doing so. And the studios and cable channels and the networks were all concerned that Apple would do TV well enough that they would lose control over the customer experience and the customer relationship the same way that the music industry did. Right?
Right. Yeah. Yes. The TV industry, the movie industry was not about to make the same mistake that the music industry did by letting Apple help them be successful.
Right. And successful. To, you know, in their favor, the TV and movie industry was not on the precipice of disaster like the music industry was when they had to accept. When, you know, like they had really no choice but to try to do something with Apple. Oops, sorry about that noise. And in fact, the TV and music industry is still doing just fine. Thank you very much. And I get that. But I would so rather Apple be in charge of my relationship with them. That's what I would like as a consumer. And that's not what they wanted. They did not want that. And I get that. But this is exactly what I think about when I read some of these comments by GM.
You know, I'm still stuck on the music industry thing, and I have a hypothesis on why the streaming TV or streaming video industry didn't have the same problem. And I think it comes down to the fact that Napster had an interface that was easy for people to use, and Pirate Bay does not. I think if Pirate Bay were easier for the average person to use, then Apple would have been in a stronger place to be able to get the video content creators to get on board.
Yeah, and there's bandwidth and storage issues with video that play differently than with music.
Yeah.
So you're right. You're right. There are definitely some mitigating or contributing factors to all that. But the bottom line is that like GM is just basically pissed that we're using our cars the way we want to. And they want to be able to make more money from it by forcing us to use their cars the way they want us to. And I, for one, I mean, I won't do it. I don't know how many more cars I'm going to buy in my lifetime, but they're going to support CarPlay if I pay for them.
Yeah, there you go. And my current car doesn't support CarPlay, but I made sure that it was compatible with aftermarket CarPlay setups so that when I get around to buying something, I can make my car a CarPlay compatible machine.
That's fair. I would not want to do so in such a way that was hackneyed. Like I wouldn't want like a brute force solution.
Oh, no, these are elegant solutions where not only do they give you the double DIN thing, but you get the right bezel to go around the doubled in so that it blends in with your dashboard very nicely. You have the right harness cables so that all of the like steering wheel controls and reverse cameras and everything that's already in your car, all of that still continues to work. You just now have a much better interface for everything you're doing, and it supports CarPlay.
That makes sense. By the way, another thing that I like about my Blazer and about the Equinox, but the Blazer I think is even better at it, is the in-cabin microphones for phone calls work really, really well. I think at least that's what people tell me, that they I sound good and I don't get a lot of the reports I get, because I do ask, because I am, you know, I do care about I like talking in the phone on drives, especially on like road trips. I love having conversations. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't want it to be a miserable experience for the person I'm talking to with a bunch of road noise. And what I'm told is that they don't get that. So like not being able to utilize that kind of stuff, this just infuriates me. You're not choosing to use our stuff, so we're going to force you to, and we think that's just fine. I really hope there is customer blowback on this.
I hope so too. And it's disappointing when companies decide that their bottom line is more important than customer satisfaction. And the sad thing is this happens all the time now.
Oh, darn it. Darn it. Darn it. Darn it.
Darn it all the heck?
I was wondering if Rivian, which is they make a truck.
Oh, no. Rivian's out from your list as well.
They are not supporting CarPlay. Well, that stinks. I was definitely interested in their SUV for my next car. Not that I'm planning on buying a car anytime soon.
Yeah, it's
this is from 9 to 5 Mac. Go ahead.
I had checked in, even though I'm not in the market to buy a car. There's so many Rivians here in Boulder that I started looking into them, just so I'd know more about the cars. And when I discovered that, no, they do not support CarPlay, first, I was really surprised. Second, and then I was disappointed. And then I was like, well, good thing this isn't a car that I'm actually interested in buying.
Okay. Well, so can I, I'm going to read from you this. I just lost all interest in Rivian, by the way. And I had been very interested.
Amazing how fast that happens.
Yeah. All right. So speaking to MKBHD, which I don't know what that is. MKBHD. Who is MKBHD? 9 to 5 Mac mentioned this as if I should know, but I don't know.
And the funny thing is I do know, but I'm totally drawing a blank right now.
Is it someone that is it just a personality? Is it a person?
It's someone that we should both be embarrassed that we're not remembering.
Excellent. At the moment. Okay. Well, I will accept my embarrassment mantle and wear it proudly. Speaking to MKBHD on the Waveform podcast this week, and I'm quoting from 9 to 5 Mac. Scaringe, who is the CEO RJ Scaringe of Rivian. Scaringe was asked about Rivian's lack of CarPlay support. MKBHD specifically pointed to a stat that Apple shared.
Mark Brownlee.
What's that?
Oh my God. It's Mark Brownlee. See, this is why I was just seething in embarrassment, because I'm like, why can I not remember his name? So I'm horribly embarrassed that I could not remember Mark Brownlee.
I still don't know. Should I know?
Yeah.
Is my embarrassment compounding?
Yeah.
All right. Regardless.
It's getting really bad.
MKBHD specifically pointed to a stat that Apple shared at WWDC 2022, claiming that 79% of car buyers in the United States, quote, only consider CarPlay-capable vehicles, unquote. Now, I don't know, but I'm ending my quotes for a second. I don't know if Apple's statistics are accurate there. I would say that there is zero chance that A, GM didn't already know that, and if they didn't already know that, that Apple has told them, right? Because this decision from GM, there's no way that came without like probably a year or two of negotiations going around.
Very likely.
Between the various companies. Okay, back to quoting. Scaringe explains that Rivian's decision to not use CarPlay is driven by its desire to be, quote, the arbiter or head chef, unquote, of the in-car software experience, rather than handing over control to a company like Apple. Holy shades of exactly what we were talking about in terms of the music industry and the TV, mm-hmm. TV industry. So here's a quote. A lot of the things we do, whether it's music or mapping, we have to make sure that we integrate in with the best in class platforms. But by controlling the system, it just allows us to be the arbiter or the head chef in terms of the experience you get versus handing over control of what we think is one of the most important parts of the experience. So again, that's in the quote, by the way. But again, that's same thing as like they don't want to give up that control to a company that might do it better that customers might choose.
Yeah, because the customer does not come first.
And I,
the dollar does,
like the way he's putting this, Mr. Scaringe, definitely kind of sounds like it's coming from a control freak kind of standpoint. Like, he says, for instance, the thing about controlling the software, and I'm quoting, the software stack is we get to continually make it better. Every few weeks, we have a new software release that either adds features, addresses gaps. We listen to feedback. Quote doesn't make sense. Our head of software development is on Reddit all the time, hearing what people are saying and interacting. It's great to get the feedback, and it drives our software roadmap to make sure we're delivering on what customers want. So I get that control standpoint. And please note there that they're basically talking about actually trying to deliver the best experience, as opposed to GM saying that we smell money. That's what GM, that's what GM was saying, is we think we can make more money. But I just, at one point, Rivian indicated that it would maybe add CarPlay in the future if there was enough consumer demand. Scaringe's comments today seem to suggest that's not currently on the roadmap. So, Rivian's off the table for me.
All right. So here's something else for you to think about. Since GM is all about, they want more money from you, even though you've already spent $50,000 on a car with them. They want to do subscriptions. At what point do they follow BMW's lead and do something crazy? Like say basic functionality in your car is now a subscription. You know, for BMW, there was a whole heated seat debacle. What if GM says, oh, you want to do hands-free calling with your phone in the car? Sure. Bluetooth costs $399 a month.
Yeah, I would say that every car company would love to turn on some subscription revenue.
Oh, yeah. Consumers do not want subscription in their cars.
Well, you know, Jeff, we also said that customers didn't want to rent their software.
Okay, well, the difference here is that...
I'm sorry, I'm talking about computers.
Studies,
talking about computers.
Right. But the market studies are showing that car buyers expect their features in their car to be part of the car when they buy it. And they are not interested in buying a car where they have to pay to use features in the car after they've already bought the car. There are certain things that are accepted as subscription things, like, oh, you want to listen to satellite radio? Well, that's a subscription. Or if you're doing like OnStar, where you're getting more than just maps, okay, that's okay.
Sure.
But like heated seats, Bluetooth, other car functionality features, that's not stuff that consumers have any interest in subscribing to.
So GM did say specifically you'd still be able to listen to music or make calls on iPhones or Android devices.
Because Bluetooth.
Because of Bluetooth, yes. Yeah. And they had also said this is one of the great things here. Buyers of GM EVs with the new systems will get access to Google Maps and Google Assistant, a voice command system, at no extra cost for 8 years. So after 8 years, you can access the Google Maps and Google Assistant that will be built into your system still, but it'll cost you.
Yeah. And even though it's in your phone as well, you won't be able to use your phone connected to the car to do that.
Yeah. Really, kind of has me hoping that Apple is going to actually be making a market car again, a commercial car and not just a fleet car.
Well, at this point, I mean, with GM's announcement, even if Apple had internally moved away from a consumer focused car, they're probably now thinking, you know, GM just dropped an opportunity in our lap.
Yeah, you know, and I guess what Apple could do is Apple could either work with a third-party manufacturer or make its own CarPlay integration product. Something that you could actually, you know, like drop into the dash. Like kind of like what you were talking about, but Apple could do it.
Yeah, they could. Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, listen, folks, are we making much ado of nothing? Like, I don't know. Like, does no one actually care about this?
I think people care about this. I think the other thing people really care about is that I can remember who MKBHD is, but more importantly, you don't know. That's what this show really comes down to today.
So you needed to bring that back to the focus.
Yeah, I did. I did.
I had successfully moved past the point where I don't know who that person, but still don't know who that person is. But then what you figured is that we needed to go ahead and bring it back to that point.
Yeah.
That was your thought process. Okay.
Well, to be fair, Brian, it is all about you.
Well played, sir. Oh, that's good, man. That's good. Right. Well, listen, Jeff, we are right now. Please let us know what you think. Are we silly to think anyone cares? Do you care? Do you think GM is you know, right? Would this affect your decision-making process? Am I just an complete idiot for not realizing who Mark is? You know, whatever it is you think, please let us know, right? We're at Context Machine on Post and Mastodon, contextmachine.io. You're on Post and Mastodon, aren't you?
I'm on Post, like I'm on basically every other social media platform.
I think you meant Mastodon.
Well, you asked about Post also.
I did, right.
So, yeah.
I see what you mean. Post,
but if you actually went to interact with me, you should go over to Mastodon.
And search for Jay Gammon.
Mm-hmm. Just like you would do on any other social media platform.
Fair enough. Make sure you get on the right one.
That would be Mastodon. I'm being a total jerk about this because
I'm doing my best to be a complete jerk about it. Anyway, and
I think this is why people listen to us. They love the chemistry. Geek Tales, right.
Yes, I'm Geek Tales. Yes, you're Jay Gammon. And Context Machine. If you please let us know, I really, really want to know what you think. I guess, you know, while you're at it, leave a review, whether or not you love us or hate us, leave us a review over on the iTunes or wherever your favorite podcast review platform might be.
Yeah, please do.
All right. So let's do this because we are 35 minutes into our 30-minute show, which is like pretty good for us. And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, again, contextmachine.io, all the social media platforms. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly, bases by Boom. Dr. Boom recorded just, I'm going to change our guidelines. Hold on, right now. I mean, like I could have done this, a couple of times. Weeks ago, but the guidelines now say Dr. Boom recorded just for the show. And that's all for this week, Jeff. Anything to add?
I figured out how to keep our half hour show closer to half an hour. Just do one topic.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Kind of have a feeling we could do something with that too, though. Go a little bit longer.